Now at Menards, save big money on everything for your next project. With the largest selection of concrete and mortar in stock, we have the right mix specially formulated for your project. View our entire selection of concrete and mortar mixes online or in-store and save big money. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
They were alive until someone decided otherwise. You're tuned in to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
The accusations against Sean Diddy Combs, they continue to pour in. And just this last week, we saw one of the names that we've been wondering about being formerly named as a John Doe being revealed in a civil suit that's filed by Tony Busby. Keep in mind, this is the civil suit. This is not the federal investigation. So these are just accusations at this moment. And Jay-Z has denied everything to do with it. Joining me to discuss, Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. Jay-Z lived doling out a really blistering rejection of the lawsuit, going all the way to suggesting, go and look at filing this criminally. This is absurd. I mean, I'm just kind of paraphrasing here, but he was pretty vehemently saying, don't screw with me.
Yeah, I mean, he really was. And, you know, I mean, the thing is, from the civil side of it, them's just words. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Busby's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy, somebody on Twitter had looked up how many cases that guy's filed since, like, 2006 or something like that. And that dude's filed, like, 2,000-plus civil lawsuits. So he's... You know, in civil cases take a long time, mm-hmm. you know, like they are not quick churning cases. You know, the whole discovery process in them is very lengthy, you mm-hmm. know, so you'll get some civil cases go 5, 6, 7, 10 years, mm-hmm. you know, before they settle, depending on all kinds of things. And you are to be assured, when Jay-Z's high-powered attorneys are on the other side of it, they're going to fight everything in terms of discovery. Because that's the interesting thing about the civil mm-hmm. as opposed to the criminal. You can really dig way, way deeper mm-hmm. in civil cases in terms of depositions, in terms of written discovery requests than you can criminally. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're not talking about your Fifth and Sixth Amendment rights in relation to civil cases. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's all a matter of the litigation that's going to take place when they send out requests for documentation. They're going to ask for all this stuff. They're going to ask for all the phone bill, like everything, mm-hmm. everything under the sun. And his attorneys are going to be fighting it. It's all, like, every bit of it's going to be litigated in front of a judge. The judge is going to rule whether or not they have a right to that documentation or video or those records, whatever the case may be. So it's going to be a very, very lengthy, costly battle for Jay-Z for certain, you know, because if once he kind of comes out and makes his, you know, denial, which his good buddy P. Diddy once made a denial too about, yeah. you know, did a whole video of it.
And then we saw a video
yeah. that kind of really cast him in the light that we now know him to be in, which is, you know, big fat liar,
yeah.
liar, liar, pants on fire. So, yeah, man, we've talked about this for, I don't know, months now.
Yeah.
Like, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. They're going to keep coming. Now, I was going to ask you, I had read something, and I didn't know if it was true because I was out. I went to a concert last night, but I saw something about did LeBron James dip out of the rest of the basketball season? Did you see anything about that? Because somebody had made some kind of comment that, you know, because LeBron's kind of saying, like, he's famous for saying that thing, there ain't no party like a Diddy party.
Yeah.
So immediately, anytime you see anybody of note.
New York Post is reporting that LeBron James has stepped away from the Lakers for, quote, personal reasons. Yeah. As he plays some of the worst basketball of his career. That's the headline from the New York Post. He did make that claim quite a while back. He's obviously not been named in any of this at all now. But if we are to go back and look at quotes that people have said about Diddy, that in fact is a factual quote, I believe, correct, of LeBron James.
I believe it's a factual quote.
Now, what does that mean? Maybe
could
nothing.
Be nothing.
I mean,
could be nothing.
How many times does like somebody come to you and go, "Hey, what'd you think of that? Oh, that's great." You know, and you're just pumping up a friend or somebody's thing.
Right.
And you don't know anything negative about it. You're just being a friend. So, I mean, it could be as simple as that. But there's a lot.
Yeah, and just to be clear, in case LeBron consumes, look, man, this is complete and total speculation.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
It's just, it's like you.
There's. Yeah.
But like the bigger concept is, man, the reach on this case is going to be pretty intense. You know, like I think that there's going to be a lot of names that surface that are going to make a lot of people very uncomfortable.
Well, one thing that comes to mind too here with a lot of these celebrities that are being speculated about and names are coming out like in this civil suit is, you know, if you truly have nothing to hide, you're innocent of all this, but you were friends with this person and you did have a relationship there, but you had no idea what was going on in his bedroom or his sex dungeons or whatever the hell he was doing.
Sex dungeon.
Yeah. Sex dungeons. That sounds like a slug.
I'm a big jingle guy, man.
By Menon was really originally Sex Dungeons.
By Menon. Exactly. Exactly.
But if you were there and you now are learning that these people that you were close to, that you associated with, that you did business with, were responsible for these horrific things and being these type of people, I think you yourself would be shocked. I mean, if I found out that a good friend of mine or something was like, that you have this other vision of, is this, I think it would be traumatizing to you as well if you're innocent and just seeing how close you were to that fire and not even knowing it. Are there some people out there that are like that? Probably,
sure.
But I think there's some too that knew, at the very least, knew something was up, but still continued to do business there simply because there was a lot of money to be made.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when you kind of get to the just the base of the, like, the freak-offs themselves, I think even people that may have attended them, you know, unwittingly, at least initially, they get there and they're like, holy shit. Like, I didn't know that this is what this was, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe that are even there is such a weird debauchery filled spectacle that it's like watching a car wreck that you kind of just can't take, but not necessarily knowing anything like truly nefarious is going on. Just thinking it's like, wow, this is like some next level orgy shit.
Yeah.
With some super rich fucks that are living a different world than the rest of us. You know,
because I'm sure people were caught in that situation where it's like, I'll stay longer. Let's see what's, and you're just sitting there having a drink. You're like, what the going on here? You know, I mean, and if you're not, and if you don't know anything about it, you're not, I mean, I'm just assuming maybe this happened. I don't think that the first thing on your mind either is that there's children involved. I would think, well, these are all adults and this or that. I mean, unless it was obvious that they were kids. I don't know. I don't think a lot of them were so obvious, though, that they were kids. I think a lot of them were trying to fit in.
I agree.
To look like 20-somethings.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it's that thing where, you know, the tougher part of the case in terms of any of the criminal allegations is always going to be, you know, and it's like you can think back to, you know, like the Weinstein stuff,
yeah,
you know, with the casting couch, and, you know, because you really need that issue of consent to be the thing from, mm-hmm. from the criminal side of it, because as like morally bankrupt as it is to think that somebody was using their power and dominion and status in order to extract sex out of people in order in exchange for a break,
yeah.
or a role or an album, you know, and they do it, and I'm using air quotes for those of you just listening, willingly, but they consent to the act, even though it makes them feel dirty. You know, I don't know that that's a crime, you mm-hmm. know, because you have consent, even though it's kind of like you've sold your soul to the devil type deal, where we're talking about no consent mm-hmm. and people being drugged and children.
Yeah.
That's a whole different thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's just a very, very different thing. And I think in these cases, as they start cropping up, that's going to be like one of the primary thrusts of the defense. You know, I mean, it's always a defense in a, you know, sexual assault cases is consent.
Yeah.
You know, that they were consenting. I don't care what they're saying now. Now they're just trying to ring the bell. Now they're just trying to get money out of me. But back then, for whatever reason, you know, they consented, whether it was me making promises to get them a break, get them a deal. Yeah, I'll get you that role, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's shitty.
Yeah.
You know, it's more, like I said, it's morally bankrupt. Mm-hmm. However, I don't know that it's criminal. So, like, as this thing kind of rolls out, man. You know, we keep talking about like, if you're thinking about like that situation where you're talking about, where you've got like a buddy mm-hmm. that you know, you thought you knew, and it depends on how tight. I mean, if it's one of your ride or dies, you pretty much know what's going on.
Yeah.
Right. So it depends on how ride or die that buddy is.
Yeah.
Really, in terms of, are you in the inner circle of trust?
Yeah.
Or are you on the outside of that looking in? And then it's just the money. The money just corrupts people in a way. And I'm talking like generational type wealth, new money that's just been thrust upon people that, you know, don't know what to do with themselves with that kind of money and power mm-hmm. because they're not accustomed to it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's one thing when you come from generational wealth and it was your great, great grandfather, like old money, you're accustomed to living in that world.
Yeah.
When you're not, and you like, you just lose sight of reality. Mm-hmm. Like you're no longer grounded, and it's way easier to be that way because you don't know how to handle it.
Sure.
You know, it's like you see it all the time with like young athletes coming out and they get that first big contract, especially like, you know, first rounders in the NFL or the NBA, and they go from having nothing to being millionaires, and the leagues were all like, yeah, all right, these kids don't know what the hell to do with their lives or with the money and the fame, and it's just a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and they realize that. So they really put a ton of effort into trying to educate these guys, finding the mentors, you know, to kind of walk them through the process. Whereas from the music industry and the entertainment industry, like, you don't have things like that going on. So, you know, these guys are just out there doing whatever they want, whenever they want, with whomever they want. And then you get this certain feeling of being bulletproof, and you're not. And
well,
when you start hurting people, it's going to create problems for you in the legal process down the road, as it should.
Well, it feels like the music industry specifically has almost celebrated and encouraged excess. I mean, the more, look at the music videos of these guys. It's all, let's make it rain. It's throwing money around. It's women.
It's been like that
wealth,
forever
in
rock and roll,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. It's always been that. And that's the image. And the thing is, I mean, there's a level of entertainment to that where it's not really real, but people believe it is. But then there's some people who make it real, and they actually start believing the hype and the entertainment of it. You know, I guess I compare it to like an actor or somebody that played a role in a movie and then is trying to play that role in real life. Like the roles on your songs aren't always necessarily you. Otherwise, you'd probably be in prison. I mean, we're talking about people, Jay-Z, and this is where I think a lot of people start to wonder, is there something to this? I mean, look at some of your lyrics. Look at some of the ways you acted. I mean, he has the anthem, Big Pimpin'. You know, I thug him, F him, love him, leave him, because I don't F him, need him, take him out the hood, make him, leave him good, because I don't F him, need them. That's the lyrics. It's not exactly pro-women. It's not exactly, you know, it's just completely male-dominated. Money, power, you're worthless. So, yeah, when that's your anthem, people are going to think twice about you being, you know, super, you know, great towards women. Granted, your wife is Beyonce, but you're not exactly, you know, Mr. Dad looking over here. And I did find it interesting in his letter denying everything, playing the victim card a bit of, I have to go sit down with my daughter and talk about this and explain to her how people are going after money and power and how horrible it is. I get if you're innocent, that would be horrible. I can't imagine having to sit down with my kids or my daughter if somebody was making that accusation against me. That would be horrible. And if that's the case, yeah, totally feel it. But I have to say at the same point, sit down and explain to her why you thought it was a great idea to go on tour with R. Kelly, make a couple albums with him, and call it the best of both worlds after we'd already seen his video of him with the Soul Train Award in the background while he's raping a child. That's another part of this. And I think historically, half of the people don't even know that that's how that occurred in that timeline, that R. Kelly became an even bigger star after he was acquitted, but we saw a video of him raping a child. And everybody's like, yeah, we like his music. It's good. It could have just been record companies back then. It could have been the money and the power. It doesn't mean that Jay-Z was involved in anything that R. Kelly was doing in his trailer. But the fact is, you chose to align yourself with someone like that in a very close way. That is going to get you more scrutiny and more people asking more questions. Like, how innocent are you in all of this that you were completely unaware of these things? Because I'm sorry, some of this stuff, especially the R. Kelly, everyone knew. He knew. Right. Everyone knew.
Yeah.
And you still chose to be there.
Exactly. And, you know, this is one of those things where you kind of look back in terms of, and it's interesting because it's always relating to how we are evolving as a society, right? Mm-hmm. Like in the, like, if you look at all of John Hughes, old great movies that you and I loved growing up, 16 Candles, you know, like Breakfast Club, like all of, they're all rape culture shit.
They are.
Like you could not make those movies now. And, you know, and it goes the same with lyrics and songs, how women have been treated and portrayed and spoken about forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very recent occurrence that men who run this country, old white guys, pulled their head out of their ass and decided, okay, like women have a voice and we're hearing them and we can't do and say that shit anymore because it ain't right.
No.
You know what I mean? And so when you had all these guys, Diddy's age, you know, Jay-Z's age, when they're young and they're making their music in that era when that shit was acceptable. And again, I'm using air quotes. Yeah. Like you then have to try to delineate between what's them's just words, it's art, and what's true.
Yeah.
You know, which dovetails into the whole YSL thing where it wasn't necessarily relating to, you know, the mistreatment and abuse of women as much as they were running a gang and just doing that gang shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're being tried on the lyrics of their songs and you're trying to figure out how much of it is based in fact and how much of it is just flights of fancy. Dems just words type shit. So, you know, I mean, because you have to know, again, like hearkening back to what we were just talking about, when you have this situation where this kind of just insane wealth, where the world is your, if like you want to get on your private jet and fly to Paris for a night you do it. It's like you just don't live by the same rules mm-hmm. that the rest of us do. It's the kind of money that you would like that normal people can't even contemplate. It's like your life is completely different.
Yeah.
Like ever from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed is nothing like what normal society is dealing with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So you just like, and it's certainly no excuse. Like what it is to blame mm-hmm. because the money and the power just corrupts the fuck out of people. And you become like this, you create this mindset that look, I am bulletproof. I can fucking get away with anything, you know? So it's like when we're talking about those videos that you'd watch, man, that shit was for sure happening. Like those, like you see all those videos out by the pool with half naked women walking around, fucking Cristal popping everything. That's exactly what that life was like.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't just a video.
No,
they were making videos based on what the fuck was happening in real life.
Exactly.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
You know, we got the whips, we got the cribs, we got all the fucking women and we're raging
yeah.
and you know, anything go. So it's like, yeah, dude, this thing is going to be unreal because it's like, it's just not going to stop because when you get into the guest lists on these things, it then becomes the Fed's prerogative to try to figure out, okay, well, how often were you a guest?
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, when you were a guest, what type of guest were you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Were you invited for a particular purpose or were you invited because you're a homie?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying? And it's like, and it's going, like, aside from whoever these dudes grew up with, who are their ride or dies, who's their true entourage, their inner circle. It then becomes all the other dudes.
Yeah.
And that are of the same wealth category, doing the same shit in terms of entertainment that you're going to start becoming friends with because you're running in the same shit. Mm-hmm. It's like you'll have your guys that you grew up with, but you're also going to have your new friends that are from the wealth mm-hmm. and those people have the same type of wealth. So it creates this really weird situation where everybody's just kind of in the same orb of just, we can do it all.
Yeah.
Like the world is our oyster. Like what we could do whatever, like, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
it's just like this thing, man, is if they hit the home run on Diddy, And they get that guy convicted. I mean, man.
I guess one of the big questions I have on this, and I'm curious to get your thoughts, is Diddy going to flip on some of these people in exchange for maybe a lesser sentence and say, because the feds, they're going to try and cast the widest net they can and get more people in if they're easily targeted and easy to get. So if he's like, yeah, okay, this did happen. He was part of it. He was part of it. They were part of it. In exchange for something lesser, like I said, do you think that's going to take place? Because they could probably get a hell of a lot more people named here. But, you know, it would be Diddy snitching on people.
I don't know that Diddy's above that. I want you to Google right now while we're recording, does he have any lyrics about snitches get stitches? I want to know. Because if he's not an idiot and he cares about self-preservation, he'll flip immediately. Like
yeah.
we don't know that he already hasn't flipped.
That's
like he's
true.
Got no, he like that. That's the thing. It's like when I was talking about kind of like your old friends and your new friends, he's not going to have that kind of loyalty mm-hmm. to his new friends that he would have with his ride or dies, his homies that he grew up with that were with him when he was in high school and struggling and making his way up. And as he, you know, I mean, his true like entourage, like those people that were kind of newcomers to the world that are similarly situated who have the ability to hire really good lawyers. I mean, if it's going to help him, you have to know.
Yeah.
This is federal. So what they do in federal cases is what they call a proffer.
Mm-hmm.
And proffers are like, all right, we're going to sit down with you. Okay. And this is your opportunity to really, really help yourself. But the only way that you do that is two ways. One, you have to be truthful about every goddamn thing that you tell us, and we're going to vet it all. And you got to give us something. Like if you do these things, it can help you immensely. No, mm-hmm. Now, and the feds never, at least in all the occasions that we've done proffers, they don't put it in writing. Mm-hmm. All right. This is like, we'll tell you that we're going to do it. You're just going to have to take our word for it, mm-hmm. you know, but you need to start talking. You're sitting in there with your lawyer, you know, the lawyers are always present for the proffers, and you spill, you know? So like there's without question going to be proffers in this case, but what they want to do is like, if I'm the feds, I'm holding off on the proffer until I just keep amassing shit mm-hmm. against him to get like that. Like the more pressure that you apply to him, which will obviously entail the more evidence you have against him, the more charges you can bring mm-hmm. against him, the more likely you're going to be able to squeeze information out from him. So, you know, like it's just, but then you it's so nefarious that you immediately start thinking about like Epstein type shit. Like yeah. You're talking about people with great wealth, great power. I mean, does this guy end up committing suicide? And I'm using air quotes for the third time during this conversation, because he has way too many goddamn secrets to tell mm-hmm. and people are not going to allow him to do it. You know, it's like, I mean, when you kind of think about that whole concept, like if you were in his orbit and like you went to a few of these parties and you hung with this dude, you're like, you're freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to go through all your text messages and be like, did I ever say anything that could be misconstrued by the feds to this dude via text? Like, was I in the wrong place at the wrong time? Like, what events are they looking at? Was he filming that? Was I like, what did I do with that? You know, it's like all that shit's going through your mind, dude.
Yeah.
I just, it's what a clusterfuck.
Man. And if you blacked out drunk during any of those, you're really wondering what took place.
Dude, like me in my bourbon days, holy shit. I'd be like, oh my God, I don't fucking remember any of it. Like, thank God I quit drinking.
Yeah. Yes. No.
God I never hung around with Diddy.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many questions as to all of it. It's almost like a race of to who's going to fess up first to what happened to try and get some sort of immunity, whether it's Diddy throwing somebody under the bus or somebody that was there throwing him under the bus going, I'll help you with your case if you don't go after me, even though I may or may not have done anything wrong. The floodgates are open.
Only time will tell, my friend. Only time will tell.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today, Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.